You are listening to the Green Lantern Corps Cast, episode number 20. This episode,
f***ing family, man.
Joining us, I am Frank Mattel, your host tonight. Joining us today are Kuhan,
what's up?
Carlton, Eric, Andrew, the creator of the Green Lantern Corps, Forbes, Bing, and Brandon.
Yo.
pretty much to start off today, we're going to be starting with a little bit of news. Peter Milligan has been announced as a new writer on the Red Lantern ongoing series. Our thoughts on that.
I'll go first. I actually, like I said, don't like the Red Lanterns. They're one-dimensional characters. I'm not really into it. I do think that I've wanted more validity to them as Lanterns and what they do every day, like how they do their laundry, who does their laundry for them, and, you know, what they do when they go shopping, and, like, you know, do they have Verizon or AT&T? These are the kind of questions I want to answer off Lanterns. And I think Peter Milligan's a talented enough writer. He has really high highs and really low lows in his career, so I'm excited about what he's going to do. But I do think that this is kind of not what I was looking for in terms of Green Lantern spinoffs. But I mean, at this point, they've tried to give me three titles and they're not working, so they're doing the best they can. But I'm excited to see what they're going to do. And I wish Atrocitus isn't around anymore.
I'm just saying, but, the Red Lanterns definitely have Verizon because
well, actually, they probably have AT&T because that's what makes them so angry.
I'm going to say Verizon.
So I know
the Red
someone
logo,
here has grief with this entire thing. Brandon, what's your grievances with the story?
This is horrible news. There's no way in hell that the Red Lantern should ever get an ongoing series. That means no end in sight. There's no reason they should ever get that.
Oh, there's clearly an end in sight, but just not.
What happened to the days where they had to like audition with like a mini series or something?
Yeah, right.
Well, the days where they started off bi-monthly.
Well, if
I knew a Red Lantern series was coming down the pipe, I would have bought more issues of that god awful Red Tornado miniseries a couple of years ago, because clearly DC doesn't know what we're interested in, and the fact that Emerald Warriors is selling in the top 10 books clearly is fucking with their mind, because this is the worst news I have ever heard.
Yeah, honestly, I would have bought three copies of each Blue Beetle issue if I knew this was going to happen.
You know, like, there's a million and one characters out there in the DC universe alone. Let's not even worry about fucking Vertigo and all their characters and the Wildstorm characters that are better than these fucking one-note characters. There are a million and one characters out there that deserve a title, deserve an ongoing series, deserve a one-shot, deserve co-features. Where the hell has the question been? Where is Wally West? Where is all these characters? And you're going to give it to Atrocitus and his fucking cat?
Where is Wally West?
Hey, leave the cat alone. He's an adorable character.
All right, so I can say I agree with Brandon and, to some extent for the fact that these characters, again, have not been fleshed out in any means. But the series itself can be positive in a way that it can actually show us more into the ground with the Green Lantern series. Peter Milligan is a great writer, you know, doing Hellblazer, doing the John Constantine series. He can dive deep into these characters and find the traumas or the little notes that make these characters into characters more than one note characters. But again, we will see once the series has come out. There's no release date as to when this book is actually coming out, but we'll wait on the horizon for it. Other bit of news is Saint Walker is not being introduced as a new member of the JLA, being written by James Robinson, as an ongoing member of the JLA, not just the supporting cast member that shows up every 2 seconds. No, he's actually becoming an ongoing player of the new JLA.
So,
what are our thoughts on this?
Is he the mascot? Because what can he do?
Well, I think James Robinson made a point to say that St. Walker's character once he meets, what's this called? Once he meets Jay, he's going to have more abilities, which I guess hopefully means some kind of permanence, though I guess since he's on the team, he doesn't have to not. He can just hang out with her all the time, I guess. And it's kind of building up his...
attached to the hip.
building up his deliberate mythology of the Star Heart and stuff. And it's cool. I mean, they're connected in the mythology, so it's I like Sam Walker. I mean, as much as he's a religious character, when he first showed up, I was kind of into him. I thought he was kind of cool, so a lot of my, like... You know, it's kind of like, I want to say, like, my love of Kyle Rayner, except that he's an amazing character. It's just kind of justified by my own personal preference, but I like him as a character. I like the idea of St. Walker being the team. James Robinson made a point to say that he's going to get powers in a more relatively regular way, because he's going to be connected to Jade and the Starheart, et cetera. And I like St. Walker as a character. I have a personal like of him, even though he's religious and I'm morally opposed to him. But, you know, I just like his look, maybe, and I like the idea of, there are Blue Lanterns, but he is a completely ineffectual character. It's kind of stupid. I mean, you got to think about, it makes sense when he comes into the story, him actually coming into the story and everything, but logically speaking, if he comes into the story, there's got to be a reason for him to come to Earth in the first place. And what is he doing? Picking up a sandwich or something? Because St. Walker is, like, completely useless as a character. I mean, what do these guys do around the place? And I think, hopefully, it strengthens the idea of these other cores doing other stuff. But I do like the idea of James Robinson's leagues, the also-rans, that we have Jesse Quick instead of the Flash, Supergirl instead of Superman, Batman instead of Batman, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, James Robinson's really the only writer in DC in a mainstream big title that's doing something that's actually progressive with the characters. I mean, Batman Incorporated is cool and everything. It's not that different from things that have been done before, and everybody else is. And if anything, Batman Incorporated is kind of usurping the whole idea of second generation at all. I mean, everybody's becoming Batman as opposed to getting their own characters and stuff. So, I mean, who knows? I like it as an idea. I like the idea that the team is going to be like a photocopy of the Justice League in a shitty printer. So, but I as a compliment.
It's a copy of a copy. Those are never quite as clear.
Okay, before we move on, point to Eric. How can you say Batman Inc. is not all that inventive, and then say the Robinson shit is inventive? We've had Titans Tomorrow, we've had JLA versus Teen Titans like a million times over. It's the same shit every 3 years.
No, in all fairness, it's not a Titans title, though. It's one of those things where it's
Titans kind of, title. Dick.
Well, no, it features Titans and stuff. It's really just got Donna and Dick, and that's really
Kara,
it. I mean,
he's a Titan.
Yeah, but everybody was a Titan
for a little while, sort of.
Yeah, but everybody else was also in the Justice League for 5 minutes. I mean, it's a little, I don't know. I think it's
nothing new.
No, so, I think it is new because he's using characters like Jesse Quick, and he's making a point to use second generation characters to say that they're a headlining team and stuff. And that's interesting. And it's almost like an acknowledgement of, in general, the DC universe to say that the big guys, like Superman and Batman, they're doing bigger things now. They've moved on. They're corporate now. They're running the company. They're the CEOs. They're not like down in the trenches as vice presidents actually making deals and stuff. They're moved on. They've moved on. You know, I mean, Green Lantern doesn't need to be on the team anymore because he's doing whatever the hell Hal Jordan does, you know, and Superman doesn't need to be on the team anymore because he's walking around on Earth or whatever he's doing, you know, and Wonder Woman doesn't need to be on the team anymore because she's in another dimension. But Diddy being these characters have all kind of graduated, you know, and I like this. This seems like a legitimate recognition of that, at least more than a lot of other titles have done.
Who's graduated? The original seven or these
I was going to say these guys, but both, I guess. I mean, it's James Robinson is making a point to take characters that nobody's doing anything with and
it's
writing.
It's not making a point. It's a mandate. It's an editorial mandate. It's the same thing that happened with McDuffie. They told him the characters are busy. You can't use them.
Yeah, there's a few characters that James Robinson had asked to use that he wasn't able to use, but with McDuffie it was different because he was getting characters in the middle of a storyline that he said, you can't use that character anymore, she's dead. No, I'm sorry, she's alive. No, I'm sorry,
Robinson.
She's a man.
Where's Ollie? Where's Hal? Where's Cyborg is not even there as much as he used to be.
Well, no, his intention was to use the second generation guys from the get-go. He only used Hal and Ollie to kickstart their own kind of like things. It's, Geoff Johns didn't kind of absorb anything that he did with Hal, but that doesn't mean, and you know, he deliberately wrote Green Arrow's actions in Cry for Justice so they would spin off to the current Green Arrow storyline. And like I said, Kongorilla and Starman, no one's asking to use those guys, and he specifically went out of his way to bring him into the fold. I mean, he didn't get to use Batwoman like he wanted to, but we all should be grateful for that, you know. And, like I said, I think he's making a point to use also Rands, and they're more interesting characters, and it's nice to see them active and doing a big deal stuff. And
I think you're giving him way too much credit for something that he has to do.
I don't think it's just has to do. I think there's definitely
said it multiple times. When we talked to Bagley, he said, "Would you rather draw the Big Seven?" And the answer is always going to be, "Hell yeah, we want to draw Batman."
Well, of course, Wonder Woman. It's always going to be, yes. They're the most iconic characters you can think of.
You don't sign up for Justice League to write the Titans.
Technically writing the Titans. Again, there's only really two members of the previous Titans on that team.
Three.
And he seems to make a legitimately honest point to say that he'd prefer to be writing these characters versus the other characters. I mean,
but obviously, because he doesn't want people saying...
He even asked at one point at the convention if when is he ever going to write the actual Justice League? And he said he's writing Justice League. He said it verbatim.
He won't get the chance. My thing is, getting back to St. Walker, it just seems like Eric said, it's stupid enough. First of all, you gotta explain how he's on Earth, you know, and then for him to stick around on Earth, mind you, and then to stick around with the Justice League. It's like, what is the incentive here? Are they like promise him like the second coming or something? Like this holy man is supposed to be doing holy things. You're not gonna get that accomplished fighting Eclipso.
Maybe they're going to incorporate more of the Starheart stuff into a legit mythology in terms of the Blue Man.
We can also go back to that Eclipso, also be like the equivalent of the Spectre. So there could be some biblical ramifications there.
Well, what do we think is going to happen after War of the Green Lanterns? Because, I mean, what's the next event? I mean, what are we leading to in terms of these stories and stuff? I mean, is it going to be relevant? I mean, it seems to be that what Geoff Johns has kind of finally relinquished the control over the other core and being
well,
like,
he'll be there before the war starts. He'll be there right after the Eclipso arc ends, and the war doesn't start to March, right?
Well, no, what I mean to say is, what's the idea is that the Green Lantern War obviously is not going to involve the other cores, more or less, and then what's going to happen after that? I mean, it seems that what's happening is Geoff Johns is being like, all right, somebody else can use St. Walker, and you know what? Anybody else can use Atrocitus if they want. They're going to become not as interesting or not as pertinent to the storylines, I guess.
Assuming nothing major happens in the war,
yeah.
Then I'm assuming we just get another truce out of this, and
another truce,
and Sinestro was, you know, quote unquote murdered, and that'll lead into Secret Origin 2 and blah blah blah. I think it's probably a little too early to get into it without knowing the repercussions of the war. But
hey, so Eric, you've been playing DCU Online.
Some other big deal that happened this week, I don't know if you guys all realize this, but DC Online came out this week, and I know a few of us have played it, and a few of them, even more of us, two of us are actively involved in it. I'm on the PS3, and I think, Andrew, you're on the...
I'm on the Zero Hour server on PC. My name on there is Andrew NDB. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a bit of a masher. I mean, you just kind of basically go to an enemy and mash, 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 and move on to the next one. But it is kind of cool to interact with the DC NPCs. Actually more cool than I thought it would be. The graphics are better than I expected. And I think as long as they keep the content coming, like with the missions and stuff, all that added content, if they can keep that flowing pretty good, I think it'll be in good shape. I don't know. We'll see if it holds my interest, but so far it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I guess as someone who, I'm on the PlayStation 3, I'm on the Crisis server. My character's name is Greybeard. It's a bald guy with a gray beard, and he's dressed like a white lantern version of Jon Stewart. I'm actually excited about the game. I've had a lot of fun playing it so far. I mean, I'm not as interested in the NPC stuff as Andrew is, I guess, because my point is I'm playing as a hero, so I'm doing things like beating up Scarecrow and beating up Gorilla Grodd and fighting Trigon and stuff. And it's not as interesting, I guess, because I feel like I've played a lot of DC games over the years where you're getting to do that. But it's open world. I love open world games. That's like my favorite kind of sandbox games are awesome. You do get to do a lot. The flying is actually really I'm doing the flying, and that's actually really
cool. I'm doing the flying. Yeah, my character, or my friend's character, which I played over his house, he doesn't fly, he glides, so...
The acrobats? Yeah. That's unfortunate. I don't know why anybody would not pick flying. I mean, I get it. I mean, super speed maybe, but I don't get why anybody would pick...
Super speed is hilarious. just watching people fly by you is just hilarious.
It looks a little ridiculous.
Now, can you accumulate multiple superpowers? Like, can you have flying plus super?
No, it seems. Well, I know that once you reach level 10, you can pick more than one weapon type. Like, if you pick brawling to start, like I picked brawling to start and fire abilities. I know once you get up to level 10, you can pick multiple weapon types. You can pick bow and arrow and shit like that if you want to. I'm not going to, but you know, I was going to do hand blast.
Quiver for that though?
What?
A quiver for the bow and arrow?
You can just wear it. You don't need it. It's like it's a video game, Wes. I mean, like, you know.
Shut up.
sad story. So I think, I don't know, like I said, it's it is cool. I feel like if you're playing against the heroes, it's fun. But then there's also things where, like, if you're Cersei's your mentor, you have to set people on fire, and Cersei's like, set that guy on fire, and while you're doing it, he's like, please, why are you doing this? And I mean, I feel like if you're gonna play Grand Theft Auto, it's a little different to play DC online. You know, I mean, I don't know, but it's cool. Like I said, it's cool to have the open world right now. All that's open is Metropolis and Gotham, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm still at the point where Brainiac is still getting bottled, so it's kind of lame not to see Wayne Tower.
You can go to the Watchtower.
You go to the Watchtower. You
need an achievement for finding the bat signal, too.
I've heard the Kilowog is there, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, and the Green Lantern content. Well, there is Green Lantern content. At this point, it's there's an Arkillo alert that I haven't earned yet, because I'm only at level 11. And there's a PvP game you can play on any server, even if you're on a PvE server like I am, Crisis, Greybeard. You can actually, there's two different games, War of the Rings, and one of them is there's a Manhunter down and there's a Alpha Lantern down, and you collect different lanterns, like capture the flag sort of, to rejuvenate them. And then the other game is an actual straight up war. There's three types of Lantern members versus three or four types of Sinestro Corps members. And there's actually the best part about it is that you find these failed recruits of both sides, and they're on top of a building just like being like, we work! And they're like insanely weak, and you just kind of go up there and snipe them, and it's pretty good. But they're still pretty tough. I mean, they all started at level 20, and I don't know, I think you can't really get hardcore involved in the game. It involves recruiting members and gaining experience by reviving other members and stuff, and you have to be a higher level for that. It is really fun to kind of punch out Sinestro Corps guys. It was when I finally found the Ring War and I did it, I exhaled or ejaculated. One of the other, I'm not quite sure. I was a little distracted at the time. So, it was pretty cool. I mean, it is pretty cool to, like Andrew's saying, it's cooler than you realize it is when you get involved. I mean, it's kind of lame that, like, there's not, like, I'd rather see Mr. Freeze robbing the bank versus, like, or, like, than Captain Cruel or, like, Exotica, whatever random villains they make up. And at this point, all I've really done is fight Gorilla Grodd or some shit, but it's pretty cool. They did make me, Nightwing was possessed by evil, and I had to battle him, and that was kind of heartbreaking. But you also picked mentors. Andrew, what'd you do for your mentor? How'd you sort that situation?
Superman. I was going to go with Wonder Woman, but I preferred the genetic powers.
You think they would have started you off in Metropolis if you picked Wonder Woman?
They do.
Yeah. They don't really assign Wonder Woman a city in this, do they?
There's definitely no them scare.
No. there was a game.
It is in Seattle!
played as a villain, and she played for a little while, and she defeated Dr. Fate, which is, it's ridiculous that she gets to fight Dr. Fate at level, like, 4, and I had to fight fucking like an asshole, but, you know, I mean, when you beat Dr. Fate, you get a little movie that shows you that you're actually going to try to destroy Themyscira, so there's an implication, she was Cersei's mentor, so there's an implication that the end game for the heroes, for the villain part of Wonder Woman is to destroy Themyscira, but, I mean, that's kind of wishful thinking.
So Cersei would be, like, a mentor if you were a woman.
Yeah, if you're an evil Wonder Woman, Cersei's your mentor.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, like, not that I would pick Hal Jordan, but we're all kind of excited about the idea of them adding some Green Lantern content. Frankie, you have kind of 4-1 on the Green Lantern content, right?
Yeah, it was, as I heard, and it was, it has been confirmed that the Green Lantern content is coming. It's an expansion plan. It's going to come for later this year, actually, but it's more than likely to be released during the exact same time as the release of the movie. As for the content itself, as Jim Lee has confirmed himself, it's actually going to mirror content of the movie itself. It's still going to be based on the lore of the DCU itself, so we're not going to see the Green Lantern costume of the movie in the game, but we are going to see events mirror closely to the movie content of the movie.
Parallax, etc.
Yeah, I think that's just saying Parallax is going to show up.
And Chrono.
And
you can play as Brian Reynolds.
Well, that's cool. I actually want to fight Chrono. If you're going to fight any fucking buddy in the Green Lantern universe, you want to fucking fight Chrono. Not for nothing.
What about Midget Chrono?
That's the one I want. I want Midget Chrono. As long as I can mod him out and give him a mustache. Yeah.
That's the whole reason that Jeff is making him a midget in the comics is because it's supposed to mirror what he's going to look like in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like I said, I'm excited about that. I think there's plenty. I mean, Frankie had said that there was actually a light power that they eliminated from the game that was really similar to Green Lantern power. I think the fire power.
It was removed, but more likely it's going to be reintroduced during the expansion pack.
Yes, yeah. I picked
that's kind of. Wouldn't that be unfair, though? I mean, when you start a character, you get to pick those and introduce that later on.
If you play through the game, you can actually remove the powers you have. It costs you 500 bucks.
It costs you money, and you have to get to redo everything. Yeah.
You just have to go to the Watchtower. There are actual vendors that you get to remove your power traits.
Oh, they charge an arm and a leg for everything.
They do. Yeah. It's really cool. I'm only a level 11, and I think I have 1,500 bucks, and I've spent almost nothing. So I mean, it is kind of
there's actually no use for the there's actually really no use for the amount of currency they put in the game. It's only really there to buy you extra costume pieces, so you can dress yourself as the armored Flash or armored Captain Marvel.
Your equipment deteriorates; you have to keep repairing it.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass. I fucking got annoyed at that shit pretty quick. The little flashing fist has been on the red fist has been on my screen the entire time I play, and I'm like, you know, fuck it, because I know I'm just going to beat a mission. And I'm going to get another fourth world harness and stuff.
That's probably because you're a brawler, because that doesn't pop up as much as on my...
Yeah, maybe it's... I'm going to go find the bad signal, because Wes told me I'll get a point for it. I'm actually playing it right now as I'm speaking to you.
That's how dedicated we are to giving the reviews as...
Live. Today. Yeah, I ended up... I'm on the bad signal right now, and I just froze. Yep, I did get an achievement for finding the bad signal. I will tell you, though, I defeated the entire Teen Titans by myself and then defeated, like, 15 versions of Raven, and it froze. Luckily, when I reloaded the game, it did put me as having accepted all that. There's been some horrendous, scary-sounding bugs where you lose, like, 4 hours of gameplay because it's, starting. But in all fairness, there's really nothing like looking exactly like John Stewart except white because I'm racist and flying really close to the water, just like skimming your knee in it. That's just some dope shit. I can't tell you. I'm sorry to be like a geek about it, but come on, we're on a fucking Green Lantern podcast. So I can say that kind of shit, right?
I like where you do the flying down thing and you break the sound barrier.
It's kind of cool. Well, it's funny. It actually obeys the ball of space. It's going down. You actually go down faster than you actually do going up.
Yeah, that's right. And I just bought the speed your ass up power, and it's pretty good.
Ooh, wow! How about that?
Is that what it's officially called? The speed your ass up power.
Fucking ass up, you dumb.
It's
son
in
of a
quotations though. So.
Well, to say your ass. Brad, I know you had your super ass. Speed. It's pretty good in the game.
I really want to create a super speedster, but when I was playing it, mind you, I'm playing it on a friend's guy. I'm thinking I was trying to come up with a name for myself, and I was like, I should really do Blackula, and then I convinced myself that I'm going to get some water powers, and then I said they probably
you
don't
realize
even
there
have.
Weren't any.
Yeah, I was like, it's not listed under iconic powers or anything. So I said, you know what, I'll just dash. You know, there's nothing wrong with dashing.
We convinced Lantern A-Train on the forums to name his character Gay Cruiser X.
Well, I named my character Greybeard specifically that I know that when people insult me, they'll just call me Greybeard, and I'm okay with that, so.
Yeah, I actually had to sit there for a while to convince a friend of mine to actually do something different while creating his character, and we actually created Draven the Hunter.
So, like, Craven, but, like, Mopier?
No, but it's actually, it's actually an old English word for hunter. So, it's better than...
So, Hunter the Hunter?
Yeah.
That's cool. Funny.
Hunter the Hunter.
You know what? I want to say something really quick, and I hope this gets on the podcast. We don't edit it out. I actually think if people on the... I'm not on the Green Lantern core board, but if we could get a little community on the on this thing going, I think that would be pretty cool.
Maybe you should
already
own the board and find out about that community.
Just yesterday, I made a subform for a whole...
Sweet. Yeah, well, you're on the PC. I wish, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be able
well,
to
Well, it's a list of both.
Yeah.
I was going to buy the PS3 version, but at the 11th hour, I read, "Oh, you don't get to play on the same servers as the PS3 people." And it's like, okay, fine. If I have to choose one or the other, I was willing to buy both. Like, if I can go to the living room, play this on the big screen, and come back in here and
well, that's
play
what
it
I'm saying.
PC,
I have a gigantic screen.
Cool with that.
Yeah, I would not. But I mean, I have a laptop. Could probably take the game, but I'm not going to do that. I'd rather play on the PlayStation 3. I trust it more, and I don't have to worry about the viruses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You'll never be able to.
So you guys do
on the PS3 or any compassion like that.
I got a question for you guys in terms of like gameplay. I know you guys have mentioned button mashers. I suck at video games. I get really frustrated at video games. So how would you guys kind of rate this?
You're gonna be pissed.
Bear in mind that at the moment, the Harry Potter Lego game on the Wii is what's kicking my ass.
I haven't even seen the game, and you're probably going to be horrified.
To rate how the game interacts, it is pretty fast paced in terms of when you get into an actual combat
zone. It's actually ridiculously easy, yeah.
It is easy. It's pretty easy to actually, like, you know, to fight everyone that's going to be on the screen. But the problem is that there's so much going on, you have to actually take care of.
Guys. If you're gonna die, Harry Potter isn't that hard a game.
No, it's honestly, I'm not. I'm awful.
Shut up.
I'm awful at video games. I really am. I'm terrible at video games. Frankie can attest to that, I believe. I'm especially terrible at role playing games, but I'm actually not doing too poorly at this. I mean, I'm at a level 11, and I've only been playing for like 11 hours. Mars, I guess. So it's, and the cap is level 13. So, and I'm doing all right. I mean, it took me like 16 times to beat Raven, but it's cool because a lot of RPGs they charge you when you fail the missions and stuff. Like you lose experience.
Yeah, punches. Yeah, you get a XP penalty. That's I was.
And this seems no. This seems there's no punishment. This seems if you lose, you lose. Sorry, you try
for
right
now.
Again.
I'm sure that'll probably change.
Well, they send you back when you die. So.
Yeah, but even then, if you're in like a raid by yourself, you only go back to the room before, and then you just gotta you gotta do the whole dungeon again. You know, I haven't done any alerts yet. I'm waiting.
I like that it keeps all the like in those dungeons where you do it alone. It does keep track of like the same all the people you killed or took out.
Yeah, they're gone. I love that.
Only all exception being if you get to the boss, it doesn't like. Record where you left off at the boss.
I've been whooped more times by thugs than I have by bosses.
I've only lost, the only boss I lost to really are the, I think, Donna Troy killed me once, and then Raven killed me a couple times. That's really it. Gorilla Grodd escaped during my battle with him. I don't know if he's supposed to escape. Did you get up to Gorilla Grodd the first time?
Yeah,
he's
escaped.
Flash, yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's supposed to escape, right? Okay, cool.
There's not, like, multiple...
Yeah, because it was like talk to the Flash, and I was like, "Where's the Flash?" And I couldn't find him because he was well hidden because he's not a bright red guy or anything. I'm not an idiot or anything, but
he was trapped in that bubble, right?
Yeah, I guess whatever his deal was, whatever. I mean, it was frustrating, but like I said, I did that, and I think I've so far. What's cool about it is you start with Superman, but very quickly they let you go to other characters. Like I've been spending the entire day playing Wonder Woman, and now I'm going to finally go fight Bane and stuff. Which you can only really, you know, I thought you can only do one villain at a time, but I'm like Superman's like go fight the Hive. I'm like that's boring and you're an idiot. I'm going to go fight Bane. You know, I mean it's pretty good. So
comics.
Yeah, we got comic books.
We're going to move on from discussing the game. But
we didn't say anything about the movie news about how there's a little bit more of things revealed and stuff, and you know, we got a good look at Gahu and F-Sharp Bell as action figures. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so those are actually pictures released last week now? Yeah, Rob Lop fan. And
you shut your mouth over there, buddy.
Yeah, but moving aside that, we're going to start reviewing the issues that came out this week. Friday's Day number 17 and Emma the Warrior, number 6. To start it off, Friday's Day number 17...
Cole, what did you think of Brightest Day number 17? I'm actually curious. If you've given too much so far.
Well, I did like that we're finally getting to see something to do with the White Ring that actually seems to possibly could matter to the story. We're finally starting to see it charge up. It's like apparently him living his life and enjoying it is for some reason charging it up.
That's right. Living life in the fast lane is the cure.
It's not clear if it's that's charging it or something, some kind of event.
I was talking to Frankie. I think, honestly, being a world-famous aerialist who was assassinated by a League of Assassins just for being a world-famous aerialist and spending the next 30 years as a disembodied ghost who fights crime while talking to the Hindu version of God, if that doesn't fulfill your fucking life, why would doing a fucking wheelie with your grandfather do it? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of insulting. Whatever. Maybe I'm just being a fucking baby about it.
You are. You are.
Yeah.
Little baby.
See, now, the funny thing is that I'm trying to figure out.
The whole thing with this grandpa, and how come every single time in a comic book, somebody meets someone with a wheelchair, they always end up on the ground with their face in the guy's crotch? Like, that is completely inappropriate if you ever meet your relatives, okay, guys? Just so you know, do not meet your relatives, put your face on their dick when you guys are having an emotional moment, you know?
Okay.
And, like, it's stupid. I mean, again, I know I said I was going to be positive, but, I mean, screw that, you know, because I said it's stupid to... The whole thing is fucking stupid. I mean, come on, like...
It's not just a wheelie with his grandfather. There's a sidecar.
Sidecars are pretty dope. I'm gonna give it there. That's the positive
Darkwing
part of the
Duck had a sidecar.
Anyway, the point is, it was cheesy as hell, and it just points out. I mean, again, not to rip on Geoff Johns like I always fucking do, but it's his own goddamn fault. You know, I mean, it's cheesy as hell, and fuck it. You know, like Geoff Johns, his idea of thematic content is to beat you over the head with really generic shit like family man, fucking family man. How can you describe the theme any more than just fucking family man? Like fuck you. You know, what about those of us who had grandfathers that like beat us? I mean, I didn't. You know, what about those of us who had like
I mean, relatives,
you know. I
if
didn't,
the janitor from Scott like, would be in this comic book, he'd be like, oh, this is terrible.
Geoff Johns is one of those guys where it's like if there's a storyline about somebody who's been raised by their parents but they meet their biological father, they're fucking stoked and they love the guy even though he abandoned Jor-El and looking at you. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of guy Geoff Johns is, you know? I mean, fuck this issue.
I thought we were doing a positive note here.
Your hands are burned.
I really think that I liked... Carol getting more involved and just kind of like, as soon as these dudes showed up, she's like, I'm gonna fuck you up! And it didn't even seem like they were attacking. She's like, it's on! She's like, what the fuck? Talking! It's like, no, fuck you, you're getting eaten by my crystal dinosaur. And she rides a crystal dinosaur around town. That's pretty awesome. I mean, come on, like, it's pretty awesome to watch her riding the Predator. Though, of course, the Predator proves 3 seconds, first of all, the Predator helps rapists and ruined, Carol's life and killed Cat Matui, but that's stupid. Why even talk about that? I mean, but it's awesome to think that, like, she's like, sweet, who cares, you know, and she's running around eating people. That's cool. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, 2 points I'm going to make about this issue. One, I have no idea what's going to happen.
I love Shadow Demons. Everybody loves Shadow Demons.
All right, never mind. Move to somebody else. I'm not even going to talk.
Please talk. Please.
Eric, you cut me off when Colton does.
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop talking.
You should. Frank.
No, hey, so Wes, what do you think of this issue?
No, because I'm going to go on for years. I want Frank to get his out.
All right, 2 things that I'm going to say about this issue. One, I have no idea what does living your life actually do to recharge your ring, and doing wheelies with your grandpa actually succeeds in anything in life. But I really have to understand what is going to happen when that thing does reach 100%, because I have no idea what that means. 100% of life, what does that mean? Aside of that, the fact that the Predator is, one, a creature that's supposed to be going into hosts that have no concept of love, I still don't understand what that means. So one, I have no idea what's going on in this issue. No idea what's going on. Oh, Giant War has spun out. The Hawk people are doing their thing. Boston Brand is eating hamburgers because he loves it now. And sleeping with underage women.
I Can Eat Cheeseburger by Boston Brand. Yeah.
She's in college. She is of age.
No, it's gross. They make a point to her, for her to say, like, hey, I have to go to class, you know, and I have to drink my juice box because you're fucking 3 times my age. Like, most of them reminded us of that.
Aside from that, it's pretty emotional. It's pretty you know, lively for the fact that, you know, showing the family man, as Eric was saying, you know, the
fucking family man.
The entire point of, you know, you're supposed to love your grandfathers and stuff like that. So, you know, everyone who's reading this issue has to go and love your grandfathers right now.
I need to call my grandpa.
You're an asshole.
Done. Yeah, what if our grandparents are assholes?
Oh, I just realized I left my grandfather in the sidecar outside. I gotta go feed him. See you guys in a minute.
If your grandparents are assholes, then it doesn't exist in the world of Jeff Johns.
Oh, okay.
All right, Brandon, what do you think of the issue?
It was freaking greatness.
Awesome sauce.
The first 2 pages, I think it was 2 pages. Firestorm.
Oh, you didn't even touch on that. I'm sorry. The Shadow Demon thing.
Shadow Demons are hilarious. Not in the, oh my god, Jeff Johns, you're such a hack thing. It was just like, I don't remember what he said. I don't have the issue in front of me. But he's like, and now we go fight the Shadow Demons. And it was like, it's just funny. And it was a good sense that I hadn't had in this entire series. It was just a good feeling of, oh, that was really funny. And then you dive into the Hawks on Zamaron and this big action story. You got Carol riding the Predator. The art was really, really, really strong there. I don't like Carter Hall. I don't remember a time where he and Carol ever met, but apparently they did, and they're really, you know, on a first name basis now. But
last name basis, because he said
Ferris. Ferris. That's kind of rude.
Ferris?
But excluding like, that little bit, I thought that entire scene was great. The only thing I didn't like was the fact that Shire's mom bonded with the Predator, and because Jeff Johns has gone out of his way, well, Jeff and Pete have gone out of their way to say, here are villains, they have connections to these heroes' past and their families, and what's her name, the Martian Siren with Aquaman and now Hawk Woman, they've got these ties to the family, and there's so much potential with that I thought her bonding with the Predator kind of deflated her, and now she's just off my list. Now I don't know what you do with her.
You know, I just really quick, I do want to say that how, I mean, to beat on the whole fact that he doesn't understand thematic content and how it works or subtext or anything. She says, I finally found what I was looking for. Love. So she was so devoid of love, she decided to conquer the universe and get a big crystal dinosaur to have it find it. I mean, that's stupid. Nobody else, you don't think that's stupid?
Wait. You saying what now?
When Hawker's mom. Yeah, she says, I finally found what I've been looking for. Love. And she straight up says it like, we're an idiot. It's like that. It reminds me of Black.
She's never had him before, and it's not like her motives have to change. It's just is now a part of her now. I'm telling you that was the worst part of the issue is the fact that she bonded with the Predator at all. But I can understand that it can be a positive because if she truly is devoid of all emotion and the only thing she wants is to be powerful, to be on top, then why wouldn't she continue on with that? Love doesn't change it. No, now I love to get some power.
I don't care about that. I just think it's stupid for her to say it in the first place because it's
I'll say right now, the best part of the entire issue had to be that one little section where the Predator now senses the fact that there's a black heart in its midst, and he launches Carol Ferris right off its back.
That was rude. That was rude.
He's like, wait a second.
Dick moves Predator.
Whoosh.
Yeah, now, you would think that after all that, like, I think in the last Green Lantern issue, we saw, not the last Green Lantern, because they said, fuck Carol, but not too long ago, we just saw her petting it, like it was a lap dog or something, and now he's like, you know what, fuck you, Carol, I see a new girl in my life, and she has no love, she needs me, you know, but aside,
she never found love.
What's love got to do with it?
I think there's one more section of the book, I can't remember. Was there one more section? Yeah, Deadman.
I'll guess what it was about.
Yeah, the love and life of Deadman. I thought the cheeseburger bit was funny. The fact that he's eating cheeseburgers in the morning because, you know, it's something I would do if somebody said, hey, you need to live life. Go eat a cheeseburger. I'll eat a cheeseburger to keep on living too, wouldn't you? Like, shit, I like cheeseburgers.
I like cheeseburgers.
You're going to die again in about 15 issues anyway, so you might as well.
Yeah, I really didn't.
Bless your puss. Eat burgers.
Andrew, what do you think about this amazing issue?
Andrew, what do you think about this amazing issue?
Well, it wasn't terrible to me. I didn't like the ideas that were on the page, but the storytelling and the stuff with Carol and the Predator was okay. I didn't have a huge problem with it. It was alright.
And the art was fantastic.
I didn't like the look of the Predator. Like, I don't know, something weird about the head, and like there's this panel where you see the Predator from the side, and it looks two-dimensional, but other than that, it was pretty good. It's pretty good.
And Carol's the best character in comics, Damian Wayne and Dick Grayson.
Here's the question about the character. Can you tell me what kind of books Carol reads, or what kind of music she listens to, or like who she voted for?
Can you tell me about any other character?
I sure can.
No, you cannot.
I certainly can. I can tell you what kind of books Batman reads and, like, you know, that kind of shit.
She's certainly giving great porn face on page 19, that's for sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait.
So Karen, you're reading Brightest Day now?
Look up for...
I read this issue, actually, I will have you know.
And it was amazing.
And,
politeness.
Yes, I laughed, I cried, it was better than Cats.
I laughed, I cried, I lost 12 pounds.
It's true. I spent a lot of time on Wikipedia trying to figure out exactly what the fuck was going on. Because I had no idea. I know, look at me go.
Well, you right?
I know, right? I had no idea who Boston Brand was, so I was just kind of like, huh.
Or about the Shadow Beans?
I don't think John knows who Boston Brand is either.
His grandfather's in a wheelchair, right? What are you talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, whatever, shut up.
I don't know, I'm convinced the white ring charges when you check something off your bucket list there. Every time a bucket list item is checked off, it's like an angel getting its wings and like a bell rings.
Sex with sophomore, check.
No, but see, that didn't do it.
So he's done that already.
That didn't do it, huh?
He's using repetitive action to level up, and then once you like have sex with enough college girls, you only get like two more points for it every time you do it. Hey, Colton, what did you think about issue?
Warriors number six. Are we gonna talk about Warriors number six? Erica, are you gonna actually ask Colton what he's gonna think about Warriors number six?
What are we talking about?
Yes, Emerald Warriors 6.
Eric, ask Colton what he thinks about Emerald Warriors number 6.
Hey, Colton, what did you think about Emerald Warriors number 6?
Colton, did you...
What did I think about Emerald Warriors number 6?
Which is 20 pages, not 18 pages.
Not
18 pages. Oh, yeah, I saw that post. That was awesome.
Peter Tomasi popped on the board to make sure that we knew it was...
It was 20 pages.
Hey, Ringslingers, this is 20 pages, not 18. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, because that makes a whole lot of difference.
Oh, come on, in all fairness... Good for him.
No. It's fair, but like after two and a half years of never being here, he pops in, says that, and then leaves forever.
I'm telling you, he's just there all the time. He just doesn't want to log in.
It's like me. I go on there sometimes, but I'm certainly
not. He sees what we did to Ethan, and he doesn't want any of that.
vilified.
We scared him off.
All right, so Colton, what do you think about issue number six of Memoirs?
Yeah, Colton.
I actually felt like something was actually happening for once. It wasn't as much as I'd liked, no, but it was actually something happening. And that's a great feeling. Well, first off, we finally get to the psychic people, the ones, you know, buried in the cave, deep in the snot, whatever the hell that stuff was. What was that stuff they were supposed to be buried in?
Raconia.
Was it Raconia?
Well, let's see. We got more Bleeze, who has apparently got no character. That's what I noticed.
Speaking of Bleeze,
he kind of just drools, like, blood.
This is the first. Why is she on the cover of this issue?
Kind of,
it's not even the best picture of her ever, either. Which is
don't forget, it's Karen's favorite character, Bleeze, so don't talk
about that. Just her costume.
The boots.
The boots.
Yeah, she's got great shoes.
You actually don't see the boots on the cover, I
don't. No, you don't.
No, you get to see one of the time, but like the perspective of this picture is really
like an
weird.
Amputee. She looks like an amputee.
I like the bit with the knife. The knife trip, that was kind of neat.
Oh, that was awesome, where she sniped all the whole planet. It was like...
She vomits up the knife.
Math murder.
There's the planet.
That's pretty. And really, kind
of classic. Yeah, guy, you've got good friends.
The only problem is then, guys guy just watches her do it. It probably takes a little while. That's a planet.
I'm a little bit confused. We back up a little ways, and it's like, we were told flat out that the Red Lanterns cannot make constructs. Like, it's not something. It's not among their powers.
It's very rare, in fact.
Atrocitus, with his millions of years of life and know-how and whatnot, control. He's finally able to learn how to do a construct and. And now it's like they all just do constructs, I guess.
Yeah, she's better than him.
Admittedly, Bleeze did just eat that entire ball of red whatever. So, I mean, maybe that had something to do with it.
I thought that was like a snot bubble.
No, because that's the thing that Atrocitus... Isn't that Atrocitus
had
there?
It was,
yeah, and she was licking it in the last issue. And if you look on page 6, she's like humping it. And then when you go to page 7, she's licking her fingers. So clearly, Bleeze has eaten the entire thing. So,
yeah, I figured she was just humping her snot bubble.
Well, you can clearly see she's actually becoming more cognizant as the issue goes on. She's actually producing better sentences.
Right.
Yeah,
she's playing dumb for Kilowog.
That's because we're about to get an ongoing series with these characters, and they can't just be like, the entire series.
So are you sure this is issue 6 of Emerald Wars, not issue 3?
Okay, we've made this joke already.
I like this issue.
I like it too, as a middle of an arc issue, not as a...
Eric, I know you have something to say about this. I know
My thing. My positive thing is I actually did like this issue, and then to prove it, I will just say a bunch of things that I fucking thought were horrible and insulting about this issue. But Guy Gardner's dialogue is overwritten, and I always think that Peter Tomasi overwrites Guy Gardner's dialogue. And I think it's a little silly for him to call Bleeze's wings bony ass, because considering they're made of bones. It's like if you went to Mr. Bones from like Checkmate and were like, "You bony face son of a bitch," it's like
is
bones.
To be fair, Guy Gardner isn't necessarily the wittiest of...
Well, to be fair, we all would have said that.
I would not have said bony ass wings.
I would have said that.
You're not funny, you know.
Was he
the comedy bump?
I think he was trying to get her to fuck away from him.
So he's like, if I just obvious about what she's wearing, it's like, get your hands off me with your fingers, you idiot.
Get your wicked boots away from her.
Get your damn hands off her.
I mean, exactly. I mean, that's whatever. I'd say his dialogue was, just to get on really quick, his dialogue was overwritten. That trick with Bleeze is really cool. I like that Zardoz or whatever his name is finally showed up. That they kind of imply that he's involved with Corona. I'm not really in love with that because I'd rather this.
We saw that already.
I guess I didn't really put 2 and 9 together and come up with it. So, I mean, that's whatever I did. And another thing, too, I was talking to Frankie about it. This is the first time we were even remotely indicated that Sodom Yat's been stealing the Green Lantern energy, right? Because it's a little confusing.
Before, it was an assumption.
I wasn't even sure what was happening here.
Yeah, it was a little unclear. And I think there's a specific point where Kilowog says, that's what all this taking the ring power was about? And he's like, yeah. And I thought that guy was saying that somehow he was draining the ring power with, with Gantt. And I was really confused. And then I realized what Kilowog was asking him was like, you said that to get us out here, but that has nothing to do with it. And that's really...
The first few pages were all the, all that exposition stuff about the puking stuff or whatever. And I feel like the exposition, I feel like the exposition was a lot better in this than it was in Green Lantern Corps, where it's just like, Gambit. You know, what?
Yeah.
What is it like? I feel like adding them both together is good. Cause like Gambit's like, you know, he does all this exposition and then goes, and now you know why I'm the Green Lantern of Oa. Wait, but you never explained that. And then, like, here, Guy says, you know, it's because Gambit started in the center.
I was talking to Frankie about this, and really quick, I'll just say my last piece, and you guys do what you want, and then I'll just say something really nice about how great the art was or something. But, really, really quick, the only problem with it is that it's stupid. Like, the whole deal, the idea of a deal between Gant and Atrocitus and Guy Gardner is dumb. Like, there's no real logic to it. And then Kilowog and Aresia call him out on it. They're like, there's no real logic to that. It's stupid. And he's like, I know, right? Sorry. So, like, basically, he's saying, his fans were saying, like, why was that a big deal in the first place? And he's like, I know, it was stupid. Sorry we led you guys on and stuff. And I'm like, why would you hang a lampshade on this situation, you know? Like, why would you admit that it was a bad story point? Why not just use that opportunity to have Guy Gardner explain why, no, it's not a stupid story point. Look, see,
Because Peter Tomasi had to do this, and he's like, yeah, it was pretty stupid. Jeff, you're an idiot. Hey, yeah, guys, I thought it was stupid.
I mean, really, I happen to think, like I said, it kind of plays up the idea that you know, we really have to be reading two series because technically Guy didn't give us enough information in last issue.
Right, that's what I'm saying. A combination of the two books, which really shouldn't be happening. It, like, you should be able to read any book you want without having to read other books. But yeah. unfortunately, you can't.
Well, without me having to ask the question of, is this the first time, are these books the first time we've ever heard of there being any sort of a deal between Atrocitus and Gardner and Ganthet?
Because that
was going to be my question for this, was whether or not this is bringing up to speed or if this is all brand new to you guys, too. Because I felt the beginning of this book was far more tell instead of show, which, considering the last issue ended with, you know, bloody vomit show as well as tell. But I wasn't sure, and I was reading this going, yeah, I'm going to have to ask the guys whether or not this was something that people already went into this story already knowing. Did anyone know any of this was going to happen?
You mean in terms of Gant that have which part? Sorry.
Just the idea that, I mean, I wasn't sure if this was, if the whole pact between Atrocitus and Gant that and Guy, if they're mentioning this for the benefit of, say, you know, Kilowog and Aresia, as well as the reader, if this is something that you guys who have been reading longer than I have already knew about. Has this been referenced anywhere, or is this like a bolt from the blue?
No, Green Lantern Corps, last issue of Green Lantern Corps revealed all this.
Yeah.
So see, exactly, Karen is someone who didn't read the issue, that issue, you didn't know about it, you know, so that answers Wes' question, like, what didn't you know? She didn't know any of it, you know, like...
No, what didn't you know? Everything we need to know came from either issue 5 or issue 6. There's nothing left out that's in Green Lantern Corps that's not in this
issue. No, but I'm asking, prior to those issues, was this mentioned previously?
Oh, yeah.
Or is this
the
this
pack itself was mentioned. It was never mentioned.
It was
Kilowog.
No,
yeah.
Kilowog says something about it, how he says, like, you made a deal with Atrocitus and Gantet, and he didn't say that in the last issue.
That's to answer Brandon's question. He was asking what Eric know. He knew about everything that was going on with the whole patent thing. What he was addressing was the fact that the pact itself was not needed. It was inconsequential to the rest of the story. It was technically not supposed to be there.
That's here
because it's one of those things that comes up, going like, okay, why did you hide the entire pact from us in the first place? And he goes, I don't know. There was actually no real reason as to why I need to hide this pack from you.
What's wrong with admitting your faults?
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the weakness of the story, not the character. I mean, Guy Gardner doesn't exist, you know? Like, it's like him saying something that's not witty is not because he's not witty. It's not Peter Tomasi. It's like, I'm going to write a really bad piece of dialogue.
No. You said that there was an ample opportunity for them to say, hey, this is why I did this. This is... Like, listen up, this is why I did this pack. And he tells them, it's just that they say that's a stupid idea.
Because he wasn't gonna, I don't think Tomasi wanted to have this happen. And I think
Stop aiming your guns at Jeff Johns.
Okay, maybe not Johns. I think editorial, somebody in editorial said, hey, we wanna do this pack thing. And that's why in Green Lantern Corps and in Emerald Warriors,
It all gets back to Jeff Johns wanting everything to be important and all connecting to the main.
We shouldn't aim everything toward John.
Hold on, one at a time here.
We kind of have to. I mean,
I don't think it matters. I think
my thing is, why does Guy Gardner like see a picture of like Krona as this little midget who Krona has never appeared as ever before, and it's that kind of nonsense.
He's having a vision.
And he's like, oh yeah, that's Krona.
Has Aracia seen Krona? Because she was pretty scared.
Hasn't somebody seen Krona?
She has. She was involved in the first
Necron fight. I'm addressing specifically where it's at the idiots. I don't think they meant to write it like that. I think it just comes across like that. I don't think Tomasi was like, I'm going to put a lampshade on this. I think he was just like, oh, I'm just going to get through this because it's not important to the story anymore. I mean, I think it's lazy writing, and I think it would be nice if the writers were like, you know what, we fucked up, it was our mistake, but they didn't. I think they thought the last couple issues were these huge reveals, and I think it was just some half-assed story planning.
I feel like this wasn't planned to reveal this so quickly in the run of the book, but for some reason it was like, hey, we want this to happen in GLC now, so it's got to happen in Emerald Warriors at the same time, so we can have everything going on at once, synergy or whatever. I think they
planned it, just wasn't as big of a deal as they played it up to be. I think they're like, oh, the fans are going to go eat this up, and we did, and then we're like, wait, but it wasn't anything, and they're like, yeah, we got you, idiots, you know.
But again, it's plot points. You're trying to get from like different beats. For the purpose of the story, it was just to get Guy Gardner alone, so when he's attacked at the end of the story. I mean, does it make sense in the long run? No, what he did. Was it part of the story? More likely it was.
It's very easy for this to turn into the Lord of the Green Lanterns. That pact should have led to the War of the Green Lanterns. I mean, any kind of artificial conflict they're going to create from this point, it should have been a whole Ganthet Atrocitus and Guy Gardner are joining together to do something really fucked up, and you know everybody else has to go against them or something. And it's kind of like that's not what happened. They were just like, oh, they didn't tell anybody. We assumed
oh, the only way they would work together that they're going to do some unforgivable.
Yeah.
Well, technically, if you think about it, in a way, it does sort of lead into the War of the Green Lanterns, because in the way that it was brought up, John Stewart was already in for Green Lantern Corps. John Stewart was already opposed for the fact that he made a pact with Atrocitus. That Ganthet made a pact with Atrocitus. He was already opposed to this. Guy Gardner now having his pact being revealed to Kilowog and to Aresia. Now they're sort of against him for the fact that they kept it from them. How Jordan is now going to do his own thing, because he's been keeping all the entities and every other thing on Earth away from every other person that he's supposed to trust.
And that's the thing, though. He can't be mad because he's been hanging around with all of them.
Yeah, it's true. It's weird that we're going to see the fact that Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan are supposed to fight one another, even though they're technically on the same line here.
Which, by the end of this, and I think it's clear, I think we can all agree that it's clear that this series, we're 6 issues in and there's no conclusion. So that trade is going to be amazing compared to this crap. By the way, we're 6 issues in, there's no conclusion, and It's gonna end with Sodom Yat being the one to wrangle up the troops. It's gonna be this Emerald Warrior.
It's really funny to even think that. It's even funny. And again, bringing back to the point that Sodom Yat is now the leading cause of why the Green Lanterns are losing their power. Even though it hasn't been established as to why, hasn't been established even as to how, it was mentioned offhandedly by Guy Gardner saying that, you know, that he may be the cause of this power giant. If he is, I'm going to kill the bastard. But there is no actual clear definition as to why it's him. And then when it shows up to actually be him, it's sort of offhandedly brought to our table.
It's a little awkwardly done. I like that they're not making a big deal out of it because it makes it a little more dramatic, but it's a little awkwardly done.
And why is he doing it subconsciously? I mean, he's just kind of standing there. It's almost like he's not even aware of it.
That's for fans. Because, you know, because if he was doing it, then, you know, he'd be trying to put a stop to it. And he'd be in a rush to find his lanterns and let them know. But if he doesn't know he's doing it, then it's nothing to worry about. But my thing is, what I was trying to say is that we're going to get this Emerald Warriors team with Yat, Gardner, Kilowog, and Aresia. And Yat is going to be the reason why we get this war. Not what Guy did, but Yat. And the fact that Guy and Hal come to blows is just because it's Guy and Hal. You know, there's conflicting personalities. And we already know that eventually we're going to see the Weaponer on a good side. Because he's got the good guy origin. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. He's just got a good guy origin.
Yes, the good guy origin, though. Creator of a weapon of mass destruction used to create to actually be a weapon of mass destruction, and then when it blew up in his face, he's still going like, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong here.
A lot of the Green Lantern bad guys now have good guy origins and stuff. I mean, but they still smash bosses.
Sinestro's not a good guy.
Whenever We're never talking killed about Cal's now. Mom. He never killed a sector's worth of people.
Yeah. He has a girl he loves too, you know? I mean, that's what makes him real.
St. Walker.
No, that's Atrocitus.
Oh,
his
yeah,
girl.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to marry St. Walker.
No. Atrocitus' girl can never be St. Walker anymore just because
everybody loves St. Walker.
Daughter, it's so stupid.
Oh, that is such an ugly little race.
I don't want Justin for her looks. I don't want Justin for the looks. I want Justin for the fact that she's like, bugs? Yeah, forever. Forever.
Anyways,
I just like the picture. She got that whole thing happened like 5 seconds after he said forever.
Yeah,
forever. Thing, bam!
Grabbed by the neck, is about to be punched in the face by a Manhunter robot. Yeah.
For some reason, I seem to say this a lot, but I like the coloring in this issue.
I like the art in this issue. Like generally, Passman is.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Passman's doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah, but yes. Overall, this was a. We're finally getting somewhere, I think. That's a good thing.
Definitely.
We are, but I still can't read this without thinking that there are just massive pacing problems.
I think that might be my biggest problem with this issue is just pacing issues.
There definitely are.
No, wait, let her continue, because she's making a point as her own.
No, I mean, that's pretty much, well, I mean, I like the art, I like the story, I mean, the Bleas cover isn't my favorite picture of Bleas. And no, it's not just because you can't get a good view of her shoes. I really love the image of Kilowog just holding Guy's head.
Oh, I love
Kilowog. Giant, massive hand. I was like, that's awesome. Kilowog is slowly, I mean, I'm sure he's always been a fan favorite, but he's slowly or quickly becoming just, I read Moats, I love him. He's fantastic.
You're talking about the pacing issues, but I feel like the pacing issues are with the entire arc as a whole. I feel like the pacing in...
Oh, yeah, it's the entire book.
No, but like as in the book as a whole, but in this issue itself, I feel like it was a lot better than it has been, at least.
I suppose. It's just, you know, they're fighting, and then Arisia and Kilowog go off, and then suddenly they're at the planet. Now, I realize you don't want, like, page after page after page of them just, like, flying and him making really, you know, crappy remarks about her bone-ass wings. but... I don't know, it seemed odd, and I got really confused by the Green Lantern caskets with the mole things ripping things apart. I didn't get a chance to go to Wikipedia and look up that.
That was confusing to me.
Those were the bodies that they just...
Kilowog sent back to... Yeah, and,
yeah, but the mole things are actually a new... Actually, something new.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be that they were possessed by Zardoz or whatever his name is.
Okay.
Zardoz, random grave robbers.
That makes me feel a little bit better then, because I was like, okay, the mole things that talk, really, really creepy. What the hell?
Yeah, Tomasi didn't get enough gore in this issue. He was like, I need to have more gore.
Yeah, there's a lot.
We have a baby.
Well, there was no one vomiting up a giant loogie of acid blood. So I mean,
he was like, is there any babies that somebody could just step on? And they're like, I don't know. Let's find them.
Yeah, the bit with Bleas taking out the satellite of guards was really, really kind of awesome.
That was a really awesome bit. Tomasi's really good with those bits. And the next issue, I don't think the big thing issue where the cliffhanger is like, oh my god, now he controls Sodom. I'm like, I'm not really that interested in that, I guess. I don't know. So the issue ended way quick for me because that's one of my biggest disappointments. I was reading, getting interested, and all of a sudden it ended. I was like, oh, fuck that, I guess.
Is he supposed to be dead? Isn't Sodom Yat supposed to be dead?
No, as he was introduced like the first issue, he was revived.
He was never dead. He was never dead.
His brain
He was incapacitated. He wasn't dead.
No, he took the ring off. That's how he was able to do what he did.
I thought it came off.
No, he took it off. That's why that was the deal. Because
he has to react to activate or to access the ion power.
Yeah, yeah. And if he did, and if he took the ring off, he was going to die of lead poisoning. And being in the sun anyway was supposed to kill him. So they forgot about the lead poisoning thing. He just kind of got
suddenly. Yeah, they haven't made any mention about that in a while.
Yeah, I guess he got cured.
Stealing all this energy. Maybe the sun blew it out or whatever. Melted it.
Yeah, maybe the heat of the sun kind of kept the iron down, or lead.
He has brittle hair.
He's also been sucking up all the Green Lantern energy, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Could be. We'll get our answers when the next time War comes out.
Or when Krona gave him his ring back, he may have cleansed him. He said he was doing him a favor.
Well, the favor was taking the ion thing out and then giving him the ring back before he died.
Maybe the ring is rigged.
If you ask the creator, that's the answer you get, so that's what we got to deal with.
That's why he's siphoning all the power to help take
care
of
his leg. We're really wavering off right now. We're like...
Sorry.
Two things here. So
what are the two things, Bren?
First thing, while Guy is explaining to Kilowog and Aresia about his what he saw, I love that Guy has a drill construct and Hal just has this wave of squiggly in his punch. And that's the battle.
It would have been someone.
Guy drills to the face and Hal a measly punch. Yeah, and secondly, we can stop bitching about the pacing. Like, because we're six issues in, and I think it's clear now that it's not because Tomasi wants to drag this out, it's because Tomasi has to drag it out so it lines up right for a War of the Green Lanterns. Because each issue...
If it was just been bi-monthly or a mini-series or something?
No, it's not going to be outside of the... It's going to be one issue, and then they're all going to jump across from each other. Or at least that's what it seems like from the solicitation.
But then, I feel like if that's the deal, then why didn't they just start the book 1 or 2 months later?
Well, then they wouldn't be able to make money and build up to it.
Well, they're going to do at least one more Green Lantern spinoff out of the war thing, but isn't there only like three issues in this storyline? Isn't it just the one special?
I think it's going to be five issues. It's going to be the one shot and then the three issues and probably an end cap.
Yeah, right, because they just said the first issue is just the issue and then the next issue is John Stewart beat up Kyle Rayner and then the next one after that is
Hal Guy and whatever Emerald Warriors has going for it. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that we can stop talking about the pacing because it's not like, you know, it's not like there's a lack of anything interesting. Sure, I want to know what Zardoff's goal intentions is. I mean, because you've already got enough power to, you know, capture anybody who's in a 30-mile radius with your telepathic powers or whatever. Just move, you know?
Yeah.
Like, get off your damn chair and go somewhere. And it's not like Sodom can't do anything. This little tribe of his is useless. So I want to see Sodom get back into it. And it's like this book has potential. That's why we picked it up in the first place is because we were Guy Gardner fans generally.
I think we picked up this book because we're doing a Green Lantern podcast and we don't have a choice.
I picked it up. This is the book.
There is a little of that, too.
Well, this is the best out of the three. I mean, that's,
it is. No, that's true. So.
I don't like Guy Gardner necessarily. I kind of like what they've done. They've made him a better character in terms of he's actually not like a hated character or whatever. But I happen to like just most. I just like Green Lantern supporting cast. So well, I would
the,
read it for
the
that.
Point I was trying to make is that this series is not lack of creative content, and the fact that it's going extremely slow, it just caters to the fact that there's this big event coming up, and it needs to be at a certain place. It needs to be done with this, and it also needs to have a certain amount of elements in it and built up to it so it can, you know, coexist with the other two books. Which is probably why this Green Lantern Corps arc is, you know, five issues long instead of the usual three or four. That's why we're talking to Bedard until next month and not this month.
Maybe. Right? I mean, maybe.
I mean, what else? I mean, we're six issues in. There's nothing else to argue about.
There's always something.
I mean, they could have done more setup for the storyline. I mean, I think this is kind of like whatever.
More setup.
More setup. I think. In all fairness, you don't need to pad a series just because the crossover's coming out. I mean, you could have just had the storyline in and then do another storyline, or you could have had a few introductory issues.
The story he had in mind is so connected to what's coming up that he had to drag it out and keep them away from Sword Guy and whatever else is going on for obvious reasons. We just don't know him yet.
Okay, I can agree with that, just for the fact that I don't know yet.
Why did I think this episode was going to be so good?
Because Brightest Day was awesome and you guys suck.
What is wrong? Why do you like melodrama so much? Were you never hugged or something? What's wrong with you? You sick?
Because he's a teenage girl.
I think you're Blake. I think Blake Lively. Yeah, I think Blake Lively, who was
Blake
a man
Lively
that
is
transferred her genitals into that. All right,
not a teenage.
Right. I'm so glad everyone tuned in for the show. Hopefully, we'll see you next time. Also, be sure to check us out online at www.greenlinecore.com. You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to check us out next time.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Room Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Clark Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
Magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me, it says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong, and don't make us wait.
More about these guys. What makes these
What is that noise?
Okay, what is that?
Blowing.
Is that you, Colton?
Is what me?
Are you blowing?
Your...
That.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll stop breathing now. Sorry for distracting.
That's an awesome
idea.
Just hold your breath for 5 minutes.
Just put your head in the bathtub for a couple minutes.
Okay.
I mean, the toilet.
Okay.
Sorry.
What was I trying to say? I was trying to keep positive here.
Peter Milligan is a great artist. I mean, writer.
I like the idea that JLA is all sick and also ran.
Stop breathing into the microphone!
Back up.
You can breathe, just don't breathe directly into your microphone.
Colton has a headset, doesn't he?
I do.
Alright,
there
so
you go.
Until you're going to speak, because you're breathing really loudly.
Really
into it.
Loudly. Or move it down or something. Just don't breathe so loudly into the microphone. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I love the sound effects in the background.
Yeah, no, I think those actually come from Colton.
Yeah, Colton, God. Colton, you suck.
Why do I suck? What do I do?
There's noise coming.
You're watching
your mom doing
something
dishes or something?
In your background, aren't you? Pretty much the continuation of the Dead
Man
and Dove Love Affair.
Why?
Because you're getting a phone call and we can hear it.
Okay, wait a second. Colton!
Yo.
Are you playing a fighting game in the background?
No.
Are you reacting to us ignoring you or something? I don't know what's happening with you tonight.
Aggressive.
Wait, didn't you start?
Did something just break behind you?
No.
Sound like Jackie Chan throwing somebody through a window.
Why are you playing that game and you're
taking
your mic
Jackie
off?
Chan? You're like, that's Jackie Chan. That's what Jackie Chan's hands sound
like.
When
they talk.
What'd you call me?
You said Ethan Hawke.
Who was talking to you?
Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
What are you?
Okay.
Oh, my.
Okay.
No, Wes, you don't remind me of Ethan Hawke, but you know who you do remind me of? Blake Lively.
I love Blake Lively.
You know, you both have a strong man's face.
Okay,
dead
Brandon.
Dead
Brandon.
Dead
this is Blake
man.
Lively. Frankie knows he's Blake Lively.
That's a positive
Dark
part of the
Duck had a sidecar.
Yeah, and Launchpad McQuack, who didn't wear a fucking disguise. The biggest hole in that fucking show, okay? Don't remind me about that. Don't remind me of things that were wrong.
Raconium. Rack.
We are so easily amused.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm a...
And also distracted.
Wait, I'm sorry. Carlton.
Yo.
Mute your mic.
Stop breathing.
You can breathe, just don't enter the mic, that's all.
Just mute your mic until you have something
I'll lift
to say.
My mic up if that'll be better.
move it away from your face.
I think
it's saying that it's freaking like 12:19.
It is. So say goodbye, Frank.
Sorry, everybody. It was a good episode.
So good
episode. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Bye, Frankie.
Next time. I'm not saying goodbye to me. I'm saying goodbye.
Start the show. One more time.
Goodbye. Congratulations.
Guys, shut up.
Goodbye, Frankie,
says the guy who started it.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
In this.
Clone.
Wes, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Now say there was a bad family book, right? And it's not, it's just a bad family book. Say it's Batman Incorporated, right? Number 7 or something, say that, right? And Captain Boomerang is in the issue, right? Mm-hmm. And Captain Boomerang has a daughter, right? And say he's dating Tim Drake, right? She's dating Tim Drake.
I was gonna say, oh no.
So Captain Boomerang is dating Tim Drake. Captain Boomerang's daughter is dating Tim Drake, right?
Tim Boomerang.
Now the Flash shows up, or not the Flash, say some Captain Cold shows up, and he's like, I want to fight Captain Boomerang. And Tim Drake is there, and he's like, why do you want to fight Captain Boomerang? And instead of answering him, Captain Cold beats him up. Then Tim Drake says, okay, I will do whatever you want, and I'll go get Captain Boomerang for you. Then, you know, Tim Drake goes and finds Captain Boomerang, says, hey, you got to help me out because he's going to kill your daughter.
Oh, my
Captain
God. Boomerang's like,
he's like, I don't care about your daughter. I don't care about my daughter. You're a jerk. Then Red Robin says, all right, you know what? I'm going to punch you in the face because I'm so mad at you right now. Then Captain Boomerang beats him up. Then Captain Boomerang beats him up, right? Starts beating him up. And then Red Robin apologizes. He says, I'm sorry, psycho mass murderer. I did not mean to start a fight with you, but I just want to rescue your daughter. And then Captain Boomerang says, you know what? Let's fist fight. Because everybody knows that Captain Boomerang was trained by the Grand Masters of Korrigar, right? So they start fist fighting. Robin gets one shot in and says, I got that shot in because I was trained by Batman, who's a much better fighter than I am. Then he gets embarrassed and runs away licking his wounds, and he says, man, that guy was a jerk. Now, would that bother you, considering Captain Boomerang murdered his father?
that was all being recorded, just so you know.
Wes, would that bother you? Would that be something that you think would be annoying enough to you that you want to stop reading the title?
I would not stop reading the title because I'm a glutton for punishment, but it would probably bother me.
This is going again. Okay. This is going after the credits. After
just
the,
so you know.
The song. This is totally going in the show.
That's what it feels like. Just so you know.
By the way, it's completely different situations.
Oh, you know, it's totally different. It's not like his mother. It's not like, you know, Jack Drake was poisoned with cancer over a period of years. Nothing like that happened. He was able to kill his enemy. He wasn't destroyed by a sentient virus to get cancer.
It was the intent.
No, it's not the same thing because Captain Boomerang didn't have the specific intent to kill to kill Robin's father. He just was killing a dude. So that's he had a specific intent to make Kyle Rayner suffer.
It's a lot different situation.
You're right, it is more emotionally involved.
It is, yeah. Wow. No, Kyle should be more angry.
Fucking family, man.